Here's a very personal question that some of you may have grappled with on your own. Why would someone elect to have major surgery if they are healthy, with only the possibility of developing cancer at some point in the future? Well, some mothers are deciding that the decision is as much about the quality of life for their children as it is for their own quality of life. Alison Gilbert, author of Parentless Parents, How the Loss of Our Mothers and Fathers Impacts the Way We Raise Our Children, joins me now. Alison, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Describe the decision you made and how it relates to your anticipation of the quality of life of your own children.
It was wrenching, and it wasn't quick. My mother died when I was pretty young. She died in 1996, and I was only 25, so I wasn't married. I just barely got out of college and was just launching my career, so everything felt very fresh and new, and I needed her. And so she died right when I was beginning. And right then and there, her surgeon told me that I should have my ovaries removed when it was time, when I was done having my own family. So I knew about the options really early. So as soon as the
genetic proclivities, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So BRCA1 and BRCA2 means statistically you're far more likely to develop breast and ovarian cancer than the general population. And the stats are staggering. It's not just a little bit more likely. It's a lot more likely. And with BRCA1 in particular, the onset is also when you're younger. And if you get it, it's much more aggressive. And so BRCA1, which is the same mutation that Angelina Jolie has as well, the consequences are grave. And so I didn't rush into it. I took more than 10 years to really grapple with what to do about it. And I ultimately decided to have my ovaries taken out. It was really important for me to look at my kids and know that I did everything I could to stay alive for them as long as possible. I don't think if I didn't have kids, I would have done it. But it's for them. It's ensuring as much as I can that I'll be there for them.
Well, Angelina Jolie Pitt has a whole raft of children, and here she is talking about her decision to have her breasts removed.
I'm very, very well. I feel very happy that I made the choice I made, and I'm and I will follow up with the other surgery at some point because my mother had breast and ovarian cancer.
Yeah.
So she clearly is following the same path that you followed: breasts, then ovaries. And now I'm preparing myself to be a mother well into my children's adulthood.
It's actually very interesting. I took an opposite approach in terms of when I had my surgeries, mm-hmm. which is just really important to talk about. I falsely thought that the removal of my breasts would actually impact me to a far greater extent. I thought it would impact my how I viewed myself, mm-hmm. how the world viewed me. That's an external process that I was really grappling with. And so I actually did that second. The ovaries to me was the lower hanging fruit. To me, the surgery was much more simple, fewer complications. You're kind of in and out. It's done laparoscopically, so you don't really have scars. And I wasn't anticipating the fallout. And so to me, I did that first because, of course, the testing for ovarian cancer to make sure you don't get it is a little bit more difficult. Women are used to getting mammograms and sonograms for their breasts, and testing for ovarian cancer is far more, it's not more complicated, but it's less specific, so you don't really have those warning signs that you do, thank goodness, with mammograms. But just the opposite was true. The mastectomy was kind of the easy part. I didn't really have the ripple effects that I anticipated. It was just kind of over and done with.
Mm-hmm.
What Angelina Jolie talked about in her op-ed piece was going into menopause immediately. It's called surgical menopause. And I just didn't get it until you're in it.
And that was tough.
It's tough. It's tough. All the things that you would experience gradually and far older. I was 37. When you're in your 50s or 60s, you know, night sweats and mood swings and weight gain, all those things came crashing down because it wasn't slow. And it wasn't gradual. It was, you know, you woke up and you didn't have your ovaries, which of course means you don't have those hormones regulating those mood swings potentially, or your, you know, the ability to maintain a proper weight for that age. And it was harder than I ever would have anticipated. Yet, I'm so glad that I did it.
How important was your family's support in all of this?
That's a really good question. I think that I was programming myself to do it with or without their support. I felt very committed. I felt that I had done my research. I felt that the data supported my passion for taking ownership and not falling victim. It wasn't just my mom who died of ovarian cancer. It was my mom's mom. So it was my grandmother. It was my mom's sister, my aunt. These women, all three women in my life, died of breast or ovarian cancer.
So let's come back to that emotional moment when, as a 25-year-old, you lose that adult partner who's going to guide you through these difficult years of the 20s. You know you're going to be there for your children.
I didn't know I was going to be there. I wanted to be there. I passionately wanted to be there. And so I looked my kids in the eyes, and they're young, and I just couldn't imagine having the narrative be, well, I guess mom could have done something. And why didn't she? She could have been here today. And so those very morbid scenarios played out in my mind. And I was very aware of that thread for them. And I wanted them to know, I wanted their story to be, in case anything ever did happen to me, that she tried. She tried to do everything that she could so my children would know that they were the most important reason for me to do something that was really profound. This is not easy. These choices are difficult. I don't think Angelina Jolie or I, because I've written about this a lot, I don't think that we provide a tailwind. I don't think we're rushing other women to make choices that they're not comfortable with. What I think, I hope that I'm doing, and certainly I could never speak for Angelina Jolie, she's in a whole different orbit. But what I think, I hope that our words do is just give a vocabulary and provide the right words to have these discussions with your family. And then when you do talk to your kids about this, because I did talk to them about it in an age-appropriate way about what mommy was doing, and I wanted them to get it as much as they could at that age. And as they get older, particularly my daughter.
What are you going to do for her that your mom couldn't do for you?
My mom didn't have the options to test for BRCA. It didn't really come on the market until 1996, the year that she died. And so for my daughter, I would advise her to never wait, to be proactive.
And you'll be there to give her that advice.
Yes.
Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Allison Gilbert is the author of Parentless Parents, How the Loss of Our Mothers and Fathers Impacts the Way We Raise Our Children.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.